What's up, Kraken Aces listeners? You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Ben Mintz is currently on a flight back to New York City. Wow. Thank you for your service, Ben Mintz.
Godspeed, Ben Mintz.
Godspeed. Hey, widespread panic's not going to watch itself. I'll tell you that.
No, we have the Dozen live show in Philly tomorrow. So they're bussing like everybody down.
Good luck. Yeah.
So, right?
Like our results.
No. It's like, well, Pete, it's live in front of an audience.
Right.
Yeah. So
people don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So typical Barstool fun. Tomorrow is my birthday. And
happy birthday.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Nate. Oh, it's a week before Nate's. So get him while you can.
6 days.
Well, I know. It's his birthday, as he lets us know with his birthday month post.
Yeah, it's a birthday month. It's our birthday year. What are you gonna do? But you know, Dozen live show. Like, obviously, my wife wants to come. My parents are coming, so we had to like kind of fight through hoops to get a sitter. Got to be back by 10 o'clock. I get called to do an ad today with Glennie Balls. And I was like, yeah, sure. I just think it's about to be whatever. I'm apparently hosting the Barstool after party at Barstool Sansom. Just like, is anybody going to tell me this? Like, okay, I don't care. I would have made arrangements, but like, can you just like tell me before I do the fucking ad 24 hours before? So like, we can figure it out. It's like, what? Of course, Balls doesn't care. He's like, oh, what's the problem? Well, I could just spend the night. I'm like, I don't live your life, Balls.
Like, Balls, yeah. Yeah,
just can't fly by the seat of the pants. Now we have to take like two cars, and we have to like get a. My parents have to go and like watch them. It's a mess. It's a mess.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
You got this.
Defending champion, Uptown Balls.
That's right, baby. Uptown Balls.
Before we hop into the show with the writer of Rounders and Billions, Brian Koppelman.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's up,
guys?
Hello.
Hello.
Yo.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you? Are you cool with it just over Zoom, or do you need me to try to record a separate track for any reason?
Oh no, we do it bottom of the barrel.
That's fucking great. I'm very comfortable with bottom of the barrel. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Solve for Why podcast chirped us like, why do all their guests have better setups than the actual podcast? I don't know. We don't have Matt Berkey money. Like, have multiple camera angles and a makeup artist. So this is what we got.
Let's rock.
What basement are you coming at us from?
Just in like a side. This is like in our swag office at Billions, basically. Nice. Because, yeah, my Levine is in the other office. And then we have a writer's room. And this one's good because it's like small. So the sound doesn't just bang all over the place.
So thanks for joining us. We're not live like on YouTube or anything. I always edit it down if you accidentally say something you don't want to say. So, great. But yeah, you got super involved, maybe more involved in poker than I've seen you on Twitter in a long time with this whole cheating thing going on last week. What got you so excited about that?
Well, I've always like followed poker super closely. I'm still really obsessed with everything about poker. Like, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I love all the big questions that come up, and I watch a ton of poker. I watch a lot of Poker Go content, and I'm always thinking about it. You know, the game is still like the most compelling fucking game there is in so many different ways. And I've always, obviously, from the earliest days of this all, been super interested in when it looks like someone's gotten over on someone and if that's true and sort of all the personalities at play there, everything about the story, plus coming on the heels of the Magnus thing. Yeah. Because and I was really also I read a lot about behavioral economic stuff, which is just a fancy way of talking about like the way groups think very often and the way we all as human beings are sometimes prone to making very easy mistakes over and over again in how we make decisions and in how we form our opinions. And so it all came together colliding in this thing, I think.
Yeah. This whole scandal is like it. There's like several different examples of it kind of fitting more of the like macro issue of kind of just like groupthink and people. Yes. And social media. It kind of got a little exhausting after the first day and a half, and then there's this whole other element, multiple other elements that were kind of introduced to it that. It's still overwhelming, but it's also just like kind of fascinating with where this whole thing is taking off.
Super fascinating thing to me is like hearing poker pros and obviously like you all here, I'm friends with many of the really most well-known thinkers about poker for like forever, you know, for 25 years. And then hearing some of the GTO wizard people younger than me, you know, your age, Nate, or even younger, you know, using the word impossible to describe her call, Robbie's call, impossible. And when they would say impossible, it really triggered like, holy shit, that is what happens when groups of people are so, locked into the same way of looking at things, because like obviously it's not fucking impossible. We've all been at poker games with drunk idiots who've done that.
Yeah,
like just not for $200,000. Like we've all been in the situation where someone at a poker table makes an inexplicable call that turned out to be right, and you walk away just totally like confused and in like condescending to them maybe and thinking they're idiots, but the fact that the poker pros, some of them don't describe it as like unlikely or absurd, they say it's impossible, that killed me, because it's just not fucking impossible.
After the Mike Possel cheating scandal, and I find this one 1,000 times more fascinating, because with that one we just knew he was cheating, so there wasn't like any, it just was what it was, like all right, he was cheating.
Well, it's yeah.
And so this one, like that answered the question, the Possel one, why would you cheat on stream? And then we found out, well, you need to cheat on stream because you have the guys in the truck who feeding you information, buzzer in your hat, whatever. Now we're seeing her. So we know it's not like that. The word impossible, I agree with you. People throwing that around. Like, how can you, after we've seen it happen before, you can't throw around the word impossible, because now we know it is entirely possible.
But on either side of it, I mean, they were saying it's impossible that she makes that call if she's not cheating. They're like, it's impossible to call with Jack 4 offsuit when someone puts you to decision for all your chips. That's impossible. And then, yes, some people are saying it's impossible to cheat. But the difference with Possel is like, and I don't know him and I don't know the situation, but I tend to agree with your thinking on this. When you looked at those tapes, there was just time after time that the guy looked down at his thing or got the thing. Like, it was so odd. No one had any questions. I was like, oh, yeah, well, that dude, it looks to me like that dude's just fucking cheating, right? It looked that way. Yeah. I don't know the facts, but looked that way.
Yeah, and I don't think that she cheated like at all. I'm in that camp. Really? But I don't. And you are correct with part of the most fascinating thing about this is there are so many wizards out there who just play by the solver book now, who just think that nobody could possibly make that fucking call, when it is kind of absurd. Like, if that call was on the river, then okay, she cheated. But she obviously doesn't know exactly what she's doing, specifically at those stakes, for these like just play by the book people who are obviously smarter than me and you know, could probably teach math and statistics at Yale, like to think that it is impossible for them to make the call is absurd. And it's interesting that that's exactly where the game is at today. And the fact that like we get shit on because like when Barstool goes out to the World Series of Poker, those guys don't want to play next to us because they think we're scumbags. But it's also like, shouldn't you be welcoming us into the game?
Well, of course you want, all you want is for dead money. If you're those dudes, you want dead money in the games.
Exactly.
And you want someone to be making those calls because then, you know, your range tightens up for a certain reason. And then you're only bending into her with hands. You can, it's like a huge positive EV to have somebody who's making those calls in the game for them. But yes, the worldview, the view of how you're supposed to play poker. That's why these dudes all would always say Hellmuth is horrible at poker. They're all like, that guy's fucking horrible. Hey, he's the most famous poker player ever. He's made more money at tournaments than anybody. And they don't just say, so like someone like me who's like studied it and spoken to all of them, I would say Phil has a skill set at poker that's different, hard for most of us to understand what it is. But you can't say he's horrible because he's just won so much and so recently too, right? So you can't say he's horrible. But those guys would just say he sucks. He sucks. He's the worst. And that's because he decided, I asked him this question. I was like, because, you know, Negreanu went and studied with the GTO guys to become able to do that while he also does his hand reading wizardry. And Phil Hellmuth was like, you know, I decided not to learn. Like, yeah. Seidel did learn. He's like, I decided not to learn all that because I just want to, I understand it, he said, and I know what it is and I've read some of it, but I want to be able to play my kind of poker against them. He's like, if they all are doing X and so I do Y, I'm going to win because I can act in a way they won't anticipate. Now, I'm not here to say Robbie is in the same universe as.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're giving her a ton of credit.
No, I mean, she's not in the same. Obviously,
maybe not those to guys. Jake.
But Nate, you've definitely heard these guys. I'm sure Jake, thank you guys heard these guys say Phil Hellmuth is horrible at poker.
Yeah, yeah. And
right? I mean, Jake, don't you think most guys you talk to think that?
And I do think some people are coming into the middle now, kind of like agreeing with what you're saying. But I mean, just to get back to her call, I don't think people have as much problem with the call, with the call as they have with how she acted afterwards and how unnatural she acted afterwards. And people are trying to talk about like human behavior and how amateurs act at the table. But if she acts, I'm having a hard time with people saying that she definitely misread her hand and she thought she had Jack three. That was like the eighth excuse that she threw out there. Like it took
because
her a
while. Feel so dyke. So I totally disagree with you, man. Cause I think this is why I think she fucking misread her hand. And it's like, if you just ever read these things, yeah, because witnesses are often so fucking unreliable. And also if you ask somebody right after this shit's, I'm not making any of it. Like, I mean, go read Michael Lewis's book about, Tversky and Kahneman, like, because Kahneman's book's hard, annoying to get through. Like, you got to really decide you're going to take your time to read it, thinking fast, slow. But Michael Lewis's book, where he kind of just like, I'm an amazing, he's the best writer, and he can just fucking make it. It's so much fun to read the book, The Unknowing Project. That's what that book's called. And it's an amazing book about the way we make decisions. Like, witnesses, people get shit wrong all the time and they panic.
Yeah.
So, Garrett, goes like, what were you thinking afterwards, right? First of all, you don't have to fucking say that. All you have to say, like, if she was a guy, they would approach it differently. And also, like, all you have to say, like, I put my money up. I can bet.
She did not have to answer. I agree.
I can bet, raise, fold, or call. That's my right. And you do not have any right into my thinking. And that's the thing that's happened in poker, because those guys all do it, right? Those guys, after every hand, I do it too. Like, I'll call my friends after my poker game and be like, shit, that hand an hour in, where was I really in that hand? What range did you put? But he's kind of pressing her to do it and forcing her, I think. And so she just didn't want to admit that she misread her hand. Jake, what do you think?
Well, what I actually haven't thought about before until you just said that is like, I personally don't think that she misread her hand, but I think that one thing I never thought of is, like, let's say this is, let's say she 100% was cheating and, you know, she knew this hand was going to go down and, you know, it happens. The last thing I think, like, I think she would be prepared to answer kind of this like barrage of questioning after. If she actually was, like, she would be prepared, she'd be ready, she'd be like, okay, like, here's what I'm going to answer to defend this, you know, play if something ends up happening. Where,
can I argue that? I read in a theory I like is she tanked on that call because she was so confused while this is if she was cheating, right? She was so confused why it was telling her to call with Jack High. She knew she didn't have a good hand, but it was telling her to call, and that's why she tanked. And she's like, wait, why am I calling here? This doesn't make any sense. So then when Garrett pressed her on it, she didn't have an answer because she wasn't prepared for that situation.
But sometimes an amateur poker player is scared of is looking like an idiot to the smart poker players.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I have been, Adam's nodding along, because I have been in that situation and watched at tables. And like, when a top professional poker player is leaning on you with their bets and with all the smart talk and around the bets and, you know, all the conversations about ranges and about when you're supposed to call. And, you know, I've seen guys argue at the poker table loudly about whether something was 4.5 to 1 or 5 to 1 and whether the bet, you know, whether the call was slightly under that and whether that's a profitable, like, people go fucking nuts. And if you're an amateur at a poker table and you're just trying to fucking figure it out, you could see how you would get rocked. Also, I watched this interview she did before. Like, she did an interview 2 weeks ago that is on her Twitter feed, or was yesterday.
Yeah.
And this is from before this whole thing. And she's talking about how scary it is to play in the lives because, she said, in any other game, you don't have to show your work. And here, she's like, the audience watches so closely, it's not enough to win the hand. They want you to show your work like it's a math test, but I didn't sign up for a math test. I don't want to show my work. And to me, that's the biggest, I understand that. She wants to gamble. It's like asking someone at Baccarat why they bet on, you know, which side of the fucking Baccarat thing or Pai Gow. It's like she's fucking gambling in my head in that situation. And maybe she's really good at reading people. I've read that she is. And so let's assume she's better than the average, but still, she's not at Garrett. Nobody would say she's at Garrett's level or within 5 levels of Garrett as a poker player. So right. She's in there, she's out of her depth. She makes this move. They start basically calling her an idiot or a cheat. And like, if I called you an idiot or a cheat, Nate, you would just start fucking in some way.
I'd probably agree with
wanting to fight
part.
Or. Yeah. What's that?
I'd be like, no, I'm an idiot. No, you got me.
Right.
Yeah. But I will say that is her best. That could have been her best plan all along. Be like, I didn't know what I was doing. I flicked in the call. I'm sorry. Something like that. I don't think she cheated. If it comes out today that she did, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense. But I don't think she did. I do think she was overwhelmed. I do think in the moment she had verbal diarrhea and she couldn't stick to a story. We've all been there. I understand it. I completely get why people think she cheated. Like, I want
me too.
Like,
me too.
Jake,
I'm at an 80%. I'm at an 80% certainty interval. Like, I'm 80% she didn't cheat, but I fully allow the 20% possibility, and I totally could be wrong. And I'm trying also not to fall into the fucking heuristic of being like locked into my take on this situation.
Yeah,
I don't know how you have been able to keep a take. Anytime I go to 80% that she didn't cheat, if 5 minutes later I'm 80% she did cheat, it's been a mind fuck.
Because I can't, because the way the hand. Really, a lot of it to me has to do with the old interview I watched with her, because her fear of showing her work. Why are you scared to show? If we just go back, are you scared of showing your work? Assuming you're not in life, right? You're scared because you're like, I don't think conventionally. I'm not approaching this in the way that all these numbers freaks are approaching it. I am relying on my inner sense that somebody is bluffing or that they have it.
Right.
Because
it's hard to shake the idea of her being such an amateur or being inexperienced in a bunch of different ways.
But that's what we talked about last week. It's either she is an amateur that get in way over her head and then started just saying, oh, blockers, range, and got backed into a corner, or she's worm from rounders times a million. Like, there's no in between there. She's either the greatest cheat of all time.
Whole life. But here's the thing. If you would stop at any moment along the graph, a point, any point on the graph of Worm's life, and then zoom in, you would see all sorts of cheating, like all sorts of behavior, fucking people over. And that would have come out in the last 4 days, the way that the world is working. Also, I got to say, like, for Phil Galfond and Negreanu to both land this hard on not cheating, those are guys smarter than all of us added together on this thing. And about poker, way smarter than all of us added together.
And Ivy was at the table and Zelini not cheating.
I throw Ivy's thing. Ivy's never going to make a statement like that she cheated or anything. Like,
you know, Ivy doesn't care.
Yeah.
I did text him and I got nothing. I did text him and I got nothing back. So he's not commenting.
But I will say, Mike McDonald, Timex, literally flawless, pristine record. I think he's batting 1,000 on being correct about everything. He's on the cheated side, and that scares me.
Oh, well, so is Mike Mattisau being right about Mattisau, everything. So.
Mattisau went from 100% cheat to 85% didn't cheat in the snap.
Shocker.
Shocker. I can't get with the mouth on any of this at all. That's not my guy.
You don't want him on your side. I'll tell you that.
I've never been down with him on anything. But Galfond is pretty. I mean, that guy's a super genius. And and Daniel, I think by pretty much every way you look at it, Daniel's the single most successful poker player in history. And if you take the whole thing, and he's just like, she didn't fucking cheat. And he would say if she. And so I don't know. I feel like, and his reasons are a lot like mine. I will say Vanessa seems to have today. You saw Nate. She responded to you that she's now shifted to 65 cheated.
Yeah, Selps is another heavy hitter in the heavy cheating column.
Wait. No, she's 65. She was in the other column originally, and now she's 65% cheated.
Yeah, I think that's pretty heavy. 65% to think someone cheated, like that's. It's pretty big. Yeah,
I'm gonna call her and ask her today why Juwan, she switched. Juwan her
definitely thinks she cheated. Brian Rast thinks she cheated. Fedor, Sean D.
Paul. I mean, that's just another example of what's wild about it. Is like if you go to the other side of not cheated, there's you know, like people you would also consider to be really smart and you know elite at the game and been around a while, and
Joe Cada, Sam Grafton.
What does Frost think?
Faraz might never come home.
Yeah.
His just wait, does, might say,
Jake, do you think cheated now? Are you at cheated now?
I'm not there.
Right. So you're with me so far, not cheated. All four of us are not cheated.
I'm no cheat.
I'm not cheat, but if the wind blows, you know, I could go back. I could not be more in the middle.
The moment there's evidence. That she, like any evidence, of course, then she did, and I'll reevaluate, and maybe it is an impossible call. But like I would just go back to when the primary reason of why she cheated is you don't make the call in that spot. You just don't make the call in that spot. That's just not good enough. Yeah, that's right. Just not a good enough reason.
Yeah, I agree. I also I mean, like I said, I'm not a believer that she misread her hand, but I also think that there is like kind of enough lunacy that goes on in the game from people just losing their minds for a whole bunch of reasons, bright lights, big stage, you know, playing with Phil, Ivy and Garrett, whatever it might be, that like certainly not at those stakes, but like I've seen countless examples of random stuff like that happening, playing online, that I know it's at least possible for somebody to be in that state.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because my predilection is always cheated. That's the thing that surprised me about this.
Yeah.
If you would have said to me Garrett against some rando and he's saying cheat, I would just be like, yeah, of course the person tried to cheat. But then when I look at it, I don't get the, you know, like I'm 100% sure that dude is just an opinion, obviously, but I'm 100% sure that dude cheated Magnus in chess. If Magnus Carlsen says it, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Plus the 235 or 65 games in a row that Magnus won when he played white. I just go, and that kid, and here's the difference, like Worm. Well, that kid's an acknowledged cheater for his childhood on chess.com.
Yeah.
Right. So if that guy's an acknowledged cheater, okay, he cheated. But I haven't seen anyone go, Robbie cheated. Here's when I was cheated. In fact, all the people who've ever played with her have basically said, she's made these really Spidey sense calls on me, and I find this consistent.
Well, she was correct. She did have a blocker.
That's funny, but yeah.
She did.
It was pretty important. It was a pretty important one to have versus 8-7 of clubs.
Yes.
All right, now I'm back. See, now I'm back to she cheated. Like, now I'm just back.
For whatever reason, in the end, like I say, my predilection is if it's poker, probably someone's trying to cheat. And I've seen all this shit. I've seen it in home games in New York, people with the funny glasses. Like, mm-hmm. I've had friends of mine get cheated many different ways.
Yeah, I was going to ask the poker you scene. About your rounding experience, you know, back in the day. Obviously the technology wasn't the same. It wasn't on a live stream, but I'm sure you came across, you know,
I was cheated sort of so bad. Like, the second day I was playing in the New York clubs and I watched it go down. I saw that I was cold decked in a certain spot. That's different when you're cold decked.
And what does that mean?
Like a cooler.
They slipped in. Not at the Mayfair. This was in another place. Like, I played at the Mayfair the first night and then went somewhere else the next day. And they knew I was like I was so obvious. I was like 28 years old or some shit, or 29 with, like, just, you know, going in there with, I was just not equipped to be in that game. And they switched out a deck, and I think I lost like maybe Queen's full to King's full or something, in a way that it was very clear that it was
set up.
I was fucked over, you know? And you get this cold chill in you. And then I was around the scene enough that I sort of figured out. About that same game, I saw a guy try to steal chips. This old dude, his name was Cy. He was seated across from me. And we put this in the script and we shot the scene, but it never made the movie. Where this guy, they called it kiting checks. And he raked in, when he was raking in a small pot, he like raked in some chips from someone else. And they fucking threw the guy right out, like, in a way that I thought he was maybe going to get roughed up. So I saw cheating from like the very beginning. Second day that I was there, for like, in a lot of different ways. Definitely people working together, and I read about all of it. And I've tracked it to this day. And that's why I still say, for all of my certitude, I don't know, I'm still carrying a 15% chance or 20% chance that she cheated. I just don't yet see the way that it happened.
Yeah, our greatest consensus on how she did it is, in fact, she played the hand and then folded and then time traveled back to the beginning of the hand and played it the exact way. That's actually...
I mean, and then there's that little theory that she like leaned back and just peeped his cards because they were in the end seats. But the way he had his cards, they were kind of tucked behind his thing with his... anyone see that as like...
But even if she did cheat and she knew... She was still behind 55-45 to make the call. So, she somehow knew the river, not only the river, two rivers coming, because she chose to ran it twice, then
people say she was ahead when she called because of like either the debt. I think she was ahead that way. Like, on the broadcast, it said she wasn't, but because of the dead cards. But
she was ahead on the turn, yeah.
But she was ahead slightly, and they're like, that's a profitable play long term. And, you know, because of the money that's in the pot and all that stuff. But yeah, I don't think that's the spot if you're cheating. That doesn't feel like the spot.
What I said last week was, if you're cheating there, I mean, to me, the most logical thing to do is to just shove the turn. Like, if you're working with a buzzer system where it buzzes you that you have the best hand, and you get a buzz and you have Jack four offsuit on 10-10-9-3. Like, I'm just all in on the turn. Like, yeah, you're not going to play for stacks, but like, you're also never going to lose the pot.
But the only contrary thing to that is, like, if you know Garrett's tendency, like, you know, I mean, you know the people you play with. I mean, in a way, if you know that if I make a little prime the pump kind of bet, I'm going to entice and all in.
Right, but do you want that?
Only if there was like I guess I read a thing this morning that some people think that because of the RIFD thing that she knew the run out, but there's no way she knew the run out. Look at their faces.
Imagine.
There's no way she knew the run out. It's not possible. So
that's if she did, then that is like, then live stream games are absolutely doomed. I mean, if she cheated, they're in some trouble. But like, if she knew the run out, like,
yeah,
they're basically over.
Yeah, I guess I would be interested in talking to like people who are experts at cheating, but not experts at GTO. Like, because, like I say, I think the aperture of the GTO people is like this, and they're only looking at the world a certain way. And, you know, like people who study all sorts of cheats over time, maybe would have a better view on it. Obviously someone should look at those glasses and look at the cards. I'm sure they have already, because that happened in New York. There was a cheating scandal in New York City in the home games, or like semi home games, where three people were getting a deck in. The deck had, this happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago. The deck had, to the naked eye, it was a regular deck, but if you're wearing the right glasses, it said what the cards were. And these guys worked it. They were like a road. They worked it for a couple of years.
Wow.
And they worked it smart, right? So they weren't killing. They were just winning.
Yeah.
So that they could keep it going for long enough. And then it got discovered. Right. But I think by now we would know if that was going on in that game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what their I don't know. I know they take their security seriously, and they're definitely going to take it even more seriously. But under the current standards, I would guess that they have at least have the capability to know if their own deck is being tampered with. I don't know about like, that's the thing is I'm not a cheating expert on anything. Like, I don't know what the devices are, like this buzzer that everybody keeps talking about. I'm just picturing like a, you know, the most basic buzzer that you can.
Well, no, like, you know, casino, like think about casino, right?
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
The movie Casino, when that thing's on the guy's legs.
Yeah.
They take his pants off and he's got the device on his legs. So that's what that is, right? It's basically would be something on your person. Somebody has the information and they're hitting you with either Morse code or with an agreed upon. Yeah, raise is one. So that all, I understand how that could work, but I don't understand how it could work in that setting, because who's seeing it unless it's one of three guys in the, two or three people in the truck. Those people will break. I mean, that if that's the case, those people will lawyer up and break in 2 minutes. Like, you'll know that by next week.
For Ryan Feldman, like he really wanted to put together like this hustler game, and it's been so successful and everybody's been loving it, and then just he didn't ask for any of this, you know. It's just like he just wanted to put on games, and he's kept them going, obviously, so people aren't overly concerned with I guess the hustler game itself. It looks like it's focused on just her and if she was cheating, but I, as far as I understand, he's using the same staff and, you know, same production, same cards, same everything. So I think the integrity of the game is still there. It's just, did she somehow have an in, or magic glasses, or x-ray vision, or time travel, or whatever?
I mean, there's also like the other stuff with that guy, Jacob, who was at the table. The other guy at the table that she, you know, maybe staked her.
Yep.
And, you know, the dynamic of like
them knowing each other.
Like, what
he got real mad at Garrett for even questioning.
He got mad. Yeah, it's kind of just like added to the drama. I don't really I don't know like what more could have happened, but like the fact, you know, they obviously like were friends. He maybe was staking her. I know nothing about him other than like some random things that people said about his background. But
it's
what are those? I don't know about his background.
Well, I think he's like one of the Paul brothers managers or something.
Was that what it was? Paul brothers?
Something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's not relevant to like the cheating or anything, but
I don't love the whole idea of staking someone at if in any of the games I play in, one of the players was staking another player, I would want to know ahead of time for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then it's like, you know, she gives the money back, and you know, you can argue whether someone that's guilty would do that or wouldn't do that, but what's weird is like, if she's staked, is she just like giving this money back of money that's not hers? Like, how is that working? Is there some sort of dynamic going on there?
I can completely kind of understand the panic. Being accused sucks, right? And being wrongly accused is probably horrible. And being rightly accused, like, I think all of it, like, I could just see, she knows she's an outsider to this, my guess. I don't know her, never met her, never spoke to her, but like, I can see character-wise why someone would feel backed into a corner.
I'm going to take the other side, though. I've never seen, especially on a stream like that in a high-stakes environment, someone so willingly give it up. And I get she was pressured, and people were calling him misogynistic, which I do not think Garrett is. I think people,
he cornered her in a dark hallway, didn't he?
I just don't think that's how it went down. That's not who he is, as far as we understand. But I don't think giving it back is an admission of guilt whatsoever. It's just so odd that she was so happy to give it back, like so immediately to give it, not like, no, I'm going to hold on to it. You can think what you want. It was just like, it was so quick to give it back. I don't think that means she's guilty, but I just think it means it's weird. It's almost like she's saying something was up with that. Hey, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm thinking she's cheating again. I don't know. It mind fucks me. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, I if I was cheating, I sure as hell would not give the money back. That, you know, like, I'm digging my heels in, and you're going to, you know, prove it basically. You know, who knows what happened in that encounter away from the table. But I honestly think it's probably, I mean, Garrett's been very quiet throughout all this.
He accepted her heads up challenge. She challenged him to play heads up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would assume he would accept that. But like, I think him accepting the money was probably a smart thing, not to keep it, but basically just to act as like his own escrow, where like, okay, like, I have this. This is here. It's in my possession. If it's proven that she did cheat, I don't have to try to get this back through legal means or, you know, whatever else. Like, I have it. If an investigation goes down, it's very clear she didn't, here it is back. Because 135,000 is nothing for him, like, as far as his EV in these games. And like, he's not going to just ruin his honeypot of being in, you know, on these live stream games for the next however many years. So like, it would make no sense for him to just keep it after an investigation. So I don't blame him for keeping it. But I don't know what the current status of the money is. As far as I know, he still has it, but that at least makes sense to me.
For all the things that Jake was saying, laying it all out and every aspect of, like, even the fact that the money got, this is why from the beginning, it's like, why are we following this so closely? It's kind of got everything in it. The story has,
yeah. It really does.
All these twists and turns that you
Who's
don't
anticipate.
Who's the
good guy, though? Who's the protagonist in this?
The people.
It's always Phil Ivey. If it's poker, I mean, it's Phil. We don't know yet. Isn't that part of why it's so great? Because we don't know. We don't know yet who is the aggrieved party for real. I think we will.
Kind of right now, it seems like everybody's losing.
Yeah.
Everybody involved.
And it also depends on what people wanted out of this. What did, you know, it's a decision to go play on a live stream. So what do you want out of that?
Fan.
What do you want? What games do you hope to be invited to? Like, there's all sorts of like things to think about playing on those live streams. I've been invited to play on them various ones lots of times. I've somehow never done it yet, because I think it opens up a lot of potential questions going forward. You know,
how often do you play home games?
I play at least once a week now.
Nice.
Usually once a week. I play, you know, no matter what, and that's mostly what it is. Yes, I don't like playing online.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, of course, played online plenty, and before Black Friday,
yeah,
we played online a lot. You know, I was like game? I was a red pro on on Full Tilt, so that was great to do. That was great for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. 100% rake back.
Yeah, it was great. But I'm not a I'm not an online wizard at all. I like playing in person. I'm in a really good home game with some really amazing poker players. It's fascinating. And then some people who aren't that great, and I fall somewhere in the middle probably. Like I said, I've been playing my whole life. I read about it. I play. I read as much as I can. I listen to poker podcasts, do the whole thing. I'm just like a solid, regular poker player. I'm nothing special.
What's your game of choice? What do you like playing the most?
Hold them.
Oh, you mean play any mixed?
I'm bad at Omaha because I just want to be in every pot and gamble. And I suck in Omaha. I was a really good stud player when I was young. That was what got me into this when I first was in the clubs. But then as soon as I started going to Mayfair, everyone was playing Hold'em, and then I got into Hold'em and I never really looked back. I don't know if I'd be as effective at stud anymore. I haven't played stud probably in 20 years in a real way, or 25 years. So I'll say I find poker endlessly, completely fucking fascinating. I think about it. That's what I love. I'm playing tonight and I will, part of the rest of the week, I'm thinking about the mistakes I made and other people and why someone called in a certain spot and why someone decided to bet. You know, why did somebody decide to three bet at five times the person's bet before instead of at three times the person's bet before? And if they'd done three times, would that have caused somebody else to stay in the pot? And then would that fuck the, you know, if you're into this, you're just super into it. You're just thinking about it all day long.
I misplayed a hand 8 days ago that I've thought about every single day since then.
What happened? Just before I go, can you break it down?
The hand?
We're on a poker podcast.
Right? All right. Okay. I flatted a four bet in position with king queen suited, called a bet on jack 10 X, two spades, one club. I had king queen of clubs. Turns of a 10. Check, check. It was kind of awkward because it's a tournament. It's not cash. So the stacks were, they started deep, but they weren't as deep as they normally would be. Whereas normally I would just bet.
So it goes check, check. You have a straight.
No, I just am open ended.
Oh, you're open ended after the turn. And are there three spades or just two still?
Two still. Two spades, okay. One club. The turn pairs the 10. River is an eight.
Mm.
And I checked back river and lost it. Ace queen offsuit and ace queen with a spade, which is something that I was thinking. It's a lot, most of his ace king, ace queen offsuits are going to have flush draw blockers in them. So they're just likely to fold. And I have thought about that.
You just couldn't quite make yourself make the
bet. I always have the trigger in me, and I just didn't have it. I don't know why. And I've clicked all in eight times since then. You know, just thinking about that hand.
So Jake lost the minimum that hand, still ended up winning the ring.
Well, don't you think, but betting on the river is its own, river bets and really thinking about it, value betting on the river is really hard for thin value betting on the river is so hard for people. And then really making the all in when the only way you can win the hand is by making an all in bet.
There's two factors that go into it is that one is being rebuy period was still open. So that means that I can obviously, I should be able to bluff pretty freely, but I also should be able to value bet thinly, pretty freely. Because if I'm wrong, obviously, just rebuy and start over. And I also just try to play pretty sneaky, where it's not I have quads or better to value bet river. But I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah, the check on the turn is confusing because check on the turn is either sucking you in because the guy's got a full house, or it's the missed flush,
or it's really confusing. Or it's queens that I would almost always check back queens just because it was I think it was I had 75% pot left, something like that. So that makes a lot of sense. Whereas like he's just always checking aces and kings on it when the board pairs.
I understand why it drove you crazy. Last thing for me is, do you think officially Jack four is now the Robbie? I think it's the Robbie forever.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jack four is called the Robbie from now and till eternity.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be showing down Jack four. I mean, the day after Jared Jaffe's on one of the Poker Master, not the streams, but early in the tournament, just like squeezes Jack four and gets to show it.
All right, y'all, I got to take off.
Yeah, thanks for popping on. Oh man, that's what I wanted to ask. How did you feel about Dankness telling you to stop fucking around on Twitter and write rounders too?
I thought it was fucking hilarious. Loved it. And guys, great to see you all. This was really fun. And if this ever gets settled, I'm happy to come back.
Love
Thanks,
it.
Thanks
so much.
Take care.
Push it.
Bye. Yeah.
So how much more important was that person on the phone he was waiting
a
to
talk
to?
A lot more than us.
Way more important, my brother.
That seemed like it was some money on the other line.
some money or dick winners just waiting.
Yeah, I
waiting to come back.
It's unfortunate we couldn't talk.
I'm glad you got that last question.
Smitty, you got in a good rounders reference talking worm. I know he probably doesn't love talking about rounders nonstop. Yeah. But
it wasn't even a good reference. I was just implying that he was a cheat. And he's like, oh, well, worm goes back way on.
I've heard him talk in interviews. He loves talking about like their cinematic, you know, universe, the rounders cinematic universe. And he always teases rounders too on Twitter. But I'm sure he doesn't love only talking about it.
I thought that was a good mix.
Another movie called Runner, which it has like a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was like during like the poker boom, like whatever.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask him.
But Leo produced it and Timberlake starred in it. And I wanted to know if they ever had a game on set and like how Timberlake and Leo were and blah, blah, blah. You know, he probably has great stories, but whatever.
Yeah, my question, I mean, we'll have him back. My question was going to be, do you think rounders would have been, can I say this like not dickishly, like more successful if it happened 2 years later, like during the poker boom?
Or one doesn't happen without the other, right? It was all part of like that Rolling Stone.
I don't know. I think the poker boom happens without rounders. It doesn't happen without Moneymaker.
Yes, but does
it? And I love rounders.
One thing just always led to another with that poker boom. Like this had to happen for that to happen. And rounders was just one of those things in the middle that helped make it what it was. But yeah, as long as Moneymaker won the main event, it would have happened. But
impressive foresight by him to just know that, oh shit, this is phenomenally interesting and it could go mainstream before it actually went mainstream. Because the first time I watched Rounders, I thought it was after the poker boom. Because everything, like, you talk about Johnny Chan, you talk about Helmuth, you're like, yeah, you talk about Burns, you have, like, all the hits in there that, like, everything was popularized. No, it was 3 years before. So
it's crazy that, I mean, it's so hard to get a movie made. Getting a poker movie made when, you know, using poker lingo and all of that, that must have been... I wish we had more time with it just to talk about movies, but it must have just been impossible to get it made. There's interviews you can look up when he's discussed this type of thing, but they're, you know, kind of few and far between. Like you have to dig for them. But it's awesome. Like and now he just like goes on Twitter every 6 months and teases rounders too. He responded to a Negreanu tweet, like I think in September, saying, hey, it's not too late. We can still make it. He held up a mug that said Rounders 2 on it. It was like the two of diamonds, and it just said like Rounders. Like he knows what he's doing. I think it'll happen eventually.
Yeah, I think when you produce a hit show like Billions, you don't have to worry about scrounging to make a couple more bucks.
Yeah,
unless Billions, you really want
to. This is the final season, so.
Yeah, but I think it did well enough.
Oh no, I mean he'll have time to focus on. Maybe that's what that phone call was. The script sold.
Bring back Matty D.
Time to wrap. Maybe with is Matt Damon on the other line.
Dude, that cast, Damon, Totoro, Malkovich, Norton,
Affleck. Jim Norton.
Edward Norton.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, just Malkovich and Totoro. Like, what's her name? Seasoned actors.
Yeah.
The actress.
The girl. Oh.
You misogynist.
Jane has babysat for her kids.
Gretchen Mol?
Yeah, Gretchen Mol.
Huh.
There you go.
Yeah, poor Affleck wasn't included.
I think he still had fun on the side.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, that was episode 157, I think. 158, 157. Thanks to Brian Koppelman, creator of Rounders and Billions, for shooting the shit with us for a little bit. Yeah, so that's it. Jake,
all right.
Take us home. Jake, are you playing a bracelet event tonight?
It's Monday, no. There's none. I didn't even play last night.
Sorry. Wait, they don't have any on Monday?
No, I think Tuesday.
PA is just Sundays now.
Oh, no, here it's like Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah.
So stupid.
So dumb. Smitty, take us home with some words of wisdom, will you?
Destroyer, back next week. Let's go show you a little something.
Amen, brother. See ya.
Later, fellas.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.